I was in a daze. I felt so utterly powerless that I could not even open my eyes, but it was a pleasant sensation of tiredness, such as one feels at recovery from a serious illness, when the crisis is over. And the sounds of the violin rocked me to calmness. I fell asleep. When I awoke, I was very intrigued. I was in a big, beautiful room with high windows. The sun was shining through the thin curtains and through light beams on the opposite wall. There hung the portrait over the couch where I lay. It was my own portrait, strange. I had no idea where I was or what had happened to me. I thought myself the victim of an illusion. When I have been so for a while and wondered what this magic would mean, slowly the door was opened and in came a light and airy shape. A real revelation. I thought I recognized those lines. Was it not? Yes. Of course, that was Martha, my Martha. She stretched her arms toward me, bent down and kissed me. Dionysus, welcome, you loved, she said. I have let you sleep as long as possible, but I've been sitting in the next room and listened, and when I heard that you moved, I could understand that you were awake. But where am I and where is Gunhild, who watched as closely over me? Have you now taken over the care of me? Now you have left Gunhild and the earth and now you are in my home, which also shall be yours. If you feel inclined to, she added with a smile. Am I therefore dead now? You mean? Yes, they call it so on earth and they think it is so terrible, terrible and dark and surreal. But now you see how easy it is to die, and how you can. What can you mean? Gain on the exchange. She blushed up to her hairline. Yes. It was not myself I meant, she added, but the others here in our world. See how beautifully I live, feel how the roses smell through the open window, listening to the birds in the park. You may believe, this is good to be real. Once heard the muffled sounds of a violin. Who played adagio in pianissimo? Who is it, who plays so beautifully? I asked. I thought I heard it just now in the dream too. It's George, she replied. We went down and picked you up and he had his violin with him to play a show for you to sleep, he said. He's sitting out here in the park and burning with impatience to come in and welcome you. Do you feel strong enough to speak to him now, or do you rest yet a while? Ask him to come. I cannot wait to see him. Martha shouted at him through the window. He came in so jubilant that she had to silence him. You must be quiet, she said. Berger is still very weak and need rest. Greet only slowly and then go out again. Keep playing for him. He made a face, like when you silence a child, sneaking up to the couch, grabbed my hand and looked me in the eyes. Welcome. Welcome. I thought you would never die. As I've been waiting for you. Thank you, brother. Was all I could say. Then his eyes fell together and I fell asleep again. When I woke up again, I probably slept for quite a while, but now I was also fully restored. I could immediately get up and started to look around. It was really a delightful place I had come to. The room had three windows, two facing out to a large park with lush trees and green lawns between the meandering sandy paths, the third gave a sweeping view of the surrounding neighborhood. In the foreground was seen a narrow valley with steep side slopes, where beyond the widened landscape was a lake glistening in the sunshine and distant blue mountains rose up with snow on top. What this is beautiful, I said to Martha, who just walked in while I stood and admired the scenery. Yes, it is a lovely region we live in. But now you also should see how nice we have indoors. Who lives here more than you? Actually, I have lived here all alone waiting for you, you dear, but I have often had guests with me, and now I have. Except George, also another old acquaintance of you come from a higher sphere to welcome you, our dear friend Abelard. Abelard? Abelard? The name is so familiar to me but, when you get to see him, be sure the memory awake all that he has been for you. Come on. She led me first to a large room, comfortably furnished and artistically decorated with a broad frieze in bright, cheerful colors, and a pair of beautiful marble statuettes. Middle of the floor stood a large palm plant and in an expanded window were a lot of flowering plants. Then we came to a small room. In the wide window, which was temporarily postponed, was a large desk with a bunch of beautiful things, including a lovely statuette in bronze, of a young Scandinavian woman with a lamp in her uplifted hand, as if she was looking for something. This electric lamp is a gift from the board to you, for this is your study room. He has ordered it from an artist. The castle girl who is out looking for her knight, he says. It looks like you, you know, I said. Yes, the castle maid. It's probably me that, and the knight. It's you. Do you remember that story? Strange memories emerge, but they are so vague, so unreal. We get enough time later to collate them, but now we have to seek Wolrd, who impatiently awaits you. I think he's sitting in the library. We pass the large hall, which with three arches was open to the park, and then come into a high octagonal tower room which was lined with bookshelves from floor to ceiling. This way Wolrd so absorbed in reading a large folio, that he did not immediately notice our entry. I therefore had a moment of opportunity to look at him, and that was enough to awaken so many memories and feelings of gratitude, that I absolutely threw myself at his feet and stretched his arms towards him. My beloved old teacher! I exclaimed. Well, I have you finally here, my son? He took my head between his hands and kissed my forehead. Blessed, because you filled your duty faithfully and patiently bore earth's troubles of life. Now also George came in. He embraced me and thanked me for what I had done for him and also for my affection and help for Gunhild. Have you felt no bitterness towards her or me because we finally were united in our destinies? Not the slightest. You had an old right to her and she is one unfulfilled duty to you. Because you should meet and also be as united as we can on the ground plane, but mine she is anyway, just as you will not lose the preferential right to belong to Martha. The earthly bands are temporary, but the spiritual ties remain. We talked together a long time now about old memories and then fell a clear light on a lot, which seemed to me obscure. But tell me, Wolrd, I asked, why would George have to go through that much harder trial than I, as he was from the beginning, not nearly as cruel and fierce as me? You must remember that he had not been incarnate, since he was the musician Erica King Valdemar's hoof. Meanwhile, you had a strict school as a soldier in Carl the 12th's army. Where did you get the opportunity to grind of the roughness, which was charged at your being, and also suffer you free from a lot, which was weighed on your soul? That's why your last earth visit was relatively easy. An important part of your later life was your last illness. It has been you a blessing. It is wonderful how a patiently borne bodily suffering has the ability to cleanse not only the astral envelope, as we here stand and move in, but also remove the very nature of the spots, which as earlier misdeeds sullied us. One would think that these purely physical torments should have nothing to do with the more spiritual of our being. And yet it is so. So intimate is spirit, soul and body in one life spun together, that the vibrations of pleasure and pain, that reach the heaviest, most coarse, of our shells, then will be re-added to the spiritual values, and taken up by our beings in most core. I asked for Sijin and Oldulf, and Avalor told me they were back in the earth beneath, slightly ahead of my last incarnation. They had lived in Norway, where he was a good captain and she was his daughter. Both had been under harsh life. In particular, he had had a hard life. Finally, after a difficult shipwreck, he came home with a broken foot and a broken health. She then nursed her father, and supported him and herself by, brave and fearless, as she was herself part in the local fishery. After passing from the earth wreck, they had come back with the spiritual treasures of patience, humility and confidence and were very happy. George, who had long been silent, took place. Yes, everything was fine, if only I had my Gunhild, my Engedra, here, but she is still down there and pulled with disapproval conditions. She has her children, who are fond of her and make life bright for her, said Martha, remember that she needed them. But things get tight for her, in economic terms, I said, for what I left behind me is not enough. Be calm, said Martha, I have seen a vision that her uncle, before any know, goes home, and then she will inherit her fortune. How have you seen it? Said Wolrd. Recently I was with him one night when he slept, and then I saw a light appears over his head, and it means liberation. I have seen that at many different times for different people, and it has always been so. Already during my earthly life, I learned to see and understand his character. Yes, I have so often received confirmation of what you have seen or dreamed of, I said. You have a wonderful ability. Many times I have wondered why many people have this gift. It's probably not just a gift, she replied. As for other skills, it takes practice and work and not at least all knowledge. I was at a good school of Father Adel in the mountains. You remember him? He was a complete magician of the good battle. He was a well of wisdom to draw on, and I drew extensively during the short time I was with him, for I had a burning taste for mysticism. He also led my exercises. He gave me problems to solve, the test to perform. He was the best teacher I could wish for. Thus I have become sensitive to nature's hidden powers and means of expression, but what can I compare to old Edel? He is a richly endowed man, and versed in all arts and sciences. Have you seen him, since you were last on the earth? Yes, he was the one who received me, when I left. And the first time I stayed with him, but his snowfields became a little lonely, as I longed for a more beautiful scenery. He then gave me this house, which he pre-erected on my behalf, as he probably could understand I wanted a home where I could take and welcome you. As he, who is engrossed in his books and his laboratory, did you say he had built this house? Yes, he has such rich opportunities for things and relationships of so many different kinds, that I do not know what he could accomplish. This house was his favorite idea, had been done the first draft of the plan scheme and even the supervision of the construction. Though he lives quite far away, but he's so easy to get around, he just wants it, and so he goes off, away, and then we see no sign of him. Yes, he is actually from a higher sphere, said Abulrad, and with that follows some mobility, which does not belong to the lower spheres, but he has fallen in love with his Alp landscape and the observatory he was decorated for himself and he is therefore more sedentary there in his proper home. He also has a power over the forces of nature, which he acquired through assiduous work and in-depth studies. But is he always alone, and studies? I asked. No, not always. First and foremost he is at long times up in his proper sphere, and even higher and take the education of those who know more, and secondly, he has often disciples with him, enjoying his teaching. Yes. It is not unusual for men of learning from higher spheres pilgrimage to Adel, to hear his opinion on any difficult question. If he were to go down to Earth, he was certainly a great scientist, George said. Yes, more than that, said Abulrad, he was what people would call a miracle man, but I think he is not urgent with that step. His time is not yet come. No, but it may not be as distant as you think, said Martha. Because to me he said, when last we met, that he is following with great interest the spiritual movement that has started to dawn on earth. It has large problems to overcome, she said, but it is to win the victory, because it is truth's inherent power. And when it has grown so strong that something can be done to dispel the materialistic darkness, then his hour have come. The A, 2, and many others which are infinitely high above me, will go down to, every to their city. Helping the people in distress, as they have brought upon themselves. I tremble for the moment, but mine earth, that I found worthy, to be a little warrior of the light that are flowing down upon us from the great spirit, who fashioned the universe and with his love draws us up into their bright heaven. So about fell his words, I shall never forget them, and how his face shone as he explained, and he raised his clasped hands and added, Father. See the grace to your poor servant and give me the strength to walk your way, also if it should be thorny. Words at last from this translator rune. Thus, the book describes in a poignant way how our fates are intertwined and how the people who randomly coming in our lives, are old friends, who as to the extent that they cause us unpleasant fate, destiny, we are to forgive. This is based on the understanding that we all are on the way. Even as imperfect beings and it takes time to learn to love out of compassion. Examples of past fate-specific meetings, is typical falling in love with a person, that such brings people together in relationships and possible, temporary, marriage. Such are those of the past certain events, and the children who possibly come out of this, planned from the other side. Before we went into this course matter, Often they, the children, have made the effort to incarnate into disharmonic conditions in order to bring their parents' karma together, where they at last will learn something important from each other, and especially mutual forgiveness. Footnote of the repetition principle as Martinus analyzes it with his cosmic consciousness. Quote, 1203. Since it is generally true that the above-mentioned happy period of marriage can be counted only in days or few years, but not in more than a few decades, we see here that this marital honeymoon is merely a repetition of a state that was originally the general rule throughout the history of Adam's and Eve's evolution. This repetition corresponds exactly to all the other repetitions of previous states or layers of consciousness that take place within the living being's stages of childhood and youth. As previously mentioned in Livitsbog, these two stages are, so to speak, nothing other than the repetition of stages from this being's previous path of evolution. Thus we see children going through periods where they show tendencies that clearly point back to primitive human stages. Is it not so that children go through a stage or period where they mostly like to play at being cops and robbers and chiefs and Red Indians, and during this period they are not averse to being involved in fights and conspiracies where the idea is that this or that person should have a beating, be teased or tormented? Indeed, sometimes with no demonstrable, realistic reason. Does one not also see in certain children and young people a desire or a tendency to torture, mutilate and kill animals without any outer cause or extenuating circumstance? Hence the concept of the awkward age. And is it not a fact that these natural capacities for cruelty can disappear totally in these beings when they reach manhood or maturity? Indeed, they are even sometimes the first to criticize and chastise their own children and those of others for the same cruelty? This bloodthirsty tendency was thus not the true character or nature of these beings. If it had been, it would not have disappeared with the onset of maturity, but would have still been in evidence, as is the case with some beings. We thus find people who throughout their lives represent a more or less cruel or brutal attitude towards other living beings. Indeed, they can practically hurl abuse from their deathbed. While there are beings that have only a very short period or a stage during their childhood and youth when they were inspired by brutality and cruelty, there are others that do not lose this brutal nature within this lifetime. The explanation for this is that the former beings had already overcome their brutal nature in a previous life and therefore relive it merely as a repetition at a point in their present life between being an embryo and the onset of maturity around the age of 30, where they reached the standard of evolution that they had reached in the above-mentioned previous life. The latter beings, whose brutal tendencies accompany them throughout their entire life, have not overcome the stage of brutality in previous lives in the present spiral and must therefore continue having this kind of nature in their present life and succeeding lives until they have entirely overcome it. It is this repetition of previous tendencies or states that is also in evidence in the very formation of the embryo. Here we see how, from its first, frail beginning in its mother's womb, the embryo is formed or created by passing through various principles and tendencies of animal origin. And why should marriage be an exception?